Isaiah 12 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Proclaim that his name is exalted." As Stephen said, my name is Melissa McMillan, but I may also be known to some as the tall lady who plays the piano. It is this personal tie to the piano and to music which in part makes these Bible verses I quoted from Isaiah 12 so meaningful to me. But that passage also mentions the strength and salvation of our God, and my testimony would not be complete if I didn't mention my personal ties to those things as well. So with that introduction, please permit me to make known his deeds among the peoples and to share with you my story. I grew up as the oldest of seven children to 11 Christian parents in a home that overlooked Commencement Bay here in Tacoma. It was an idyllic upbringing, without much TV, but plenty of playing outdoors and piano practice, of course. My parents educated my siblings and myself at Heritage Christian and Tacoma Baptist schools. I don't remember a day of my life when I didn't know the Lord, but what I do recall is a time in middle school at Heritage when I asked my seventh grade teacher, Art Bittner, Jennifer Sullivan's dad, how to know if I was saved. He encouraged me that the concern I was expressing for the health of my soul should be viewed as weighty evidence that I was a child of God and that the Holy Spirit was at work in me. However, just to be sure, I asked Jesus into my heart many more times in the following years. It was while I was in my high school years at Tacoma Baptist that I met Kirk, a man who would become my husband. 4 years after graduating in August 1995, I married my high school sweetheart. But the warmth of that summer would soon give way to the bitter chill of November, in which my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. This diagnosis revealed that the disease had already spread to several organs, and that consequently, her doctors forecasted she had as little as three months of life remaining. Refusing to quietly succumb to cancer's ravages while also refusing conventional medical treatments, she fought cancer for the next 5.5 years that followed, eventually dying at home in her bed at the age of 55. My mom's death was the hardest thing I had been through up to that point in my life. One of her last requests was that my sisters and I sing at her funeral. I remember vividly being unable to keep my hands from trembling while they moved across the keyboard for the song Rock of Ages. The next decade would become a blur of activity. I started teaching music in the Puyallup School District and taught there for 6 years before I would come full circle and use my music degree at Heritage Christian, where I had been a student not so many years before. God also began adding children to our household. Wyatt, our eldest, was born in 2001, just 3 days after the terror attack on our nation's East Coast. His brothers Ellis, Reed, and Joel arrived in short order thereafter, and I quickly found myself mathematically outnumbered by males in my own home. In the thick of the early parenting years, during what can be only described as wonderful chaos, I can remember seasoned mothers encouraging me to enjoy those times with my youngsters because they would pass quickly. And those mothers were right. They did. Now looking back on that time, I regard those days as some of the best of my life, and I'm so grateful to God for making me their mother. Now it was during these early years of my children's development that I too received a cancer diagnosis. Because my mom had died from cancer at such a young age, I was getting yearly screenings from the age of 30. So in February of 2011, at a follow-up appointment on what was a normal mammogram, I told my doctor that I was experiencing some pain in my left breast. She performed an ultrasound and then an impromptu biopsy, and 2 days later, she called me back with the news. I was 37, and my first bout with cancer had begun. Because my cancer was aggressive, the doctors treated it aggressively. Surgeries, chemo, radiation. I plodded through this gauntlet of what modern medicine offered as remedies. But while I was in pain, recovering from an early surgery in the hospital, I had a nurse, a cancer survivor herself, and a Christian get right in my face and in a tone that combined both seriousness and care say, "You need to stay strong. You are the beginning of a very hard journey." Though I appreciated her words and took them to heart, this woman obviously didn't know who she was speaking to. I was a person who couldn't stand needles and would literally run away from bees if they got too close. Stay strong, this imperative implied that I was strong to begin with, but this was an adjective that neither I nor those in my circles would have typically used to describe me. Yet, if you know the living God, and the surprising and confounding ways he delights to work, then you know of his all-sufficient grace and that his power is made perfect in weakness. I was being confronted with the failure of my flesh, the fragility of my emotions, and the futility of my will. And in all of it, he taught me the lesson from his school of grace, where his apostle instructs Christians to boast all the more gladly in weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. My Savior was teaching me to rely on him for daily strength and provision. Our three oldest boys were in school, but our youngest, Joel, who was three at the time, stayed home with me and would sit and draw me pictures while I laid on the couch. He accompanied me to all my radiation appointments and became quite popular with the office ladies. Recovering from my battle with cancer was a slow and difficult process. You don't go through an experience like that and come out unchanged. My type of cancer fed off of estrogen, so to keep my body from producing this food that fueled its growth, I ended up having a hysterectomy. Many who have had this surgery have to go on hormone replacement therapy, but I couldn't do this because my cancer fed off of estrogen. The estrogen blockers that they put me on caused unpredictable physical and psychological symptoms, and I genuinely wondered at times if I would retain my sanity. But here again, God provided stability and sure footing by surrounding me with a loving family and the support of his people. Care, companionship, and assistance were never lacking. Is this still on? By which I don't mean that I was spared the experience of dark and depressing days, only that I wasn't to endure those days alone. Our good shepherd made constant provision for me as he walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death, and he frequently did so through his church as a means of his faithful care. And thankfully, the Lord also lavished my life with music that gave me strength to endure some of the more difficult times. Often feeling nauseated and overwhelmed with sorrow, I would sit on the piano bench and play and sing hymns and songs of praise and worship. The Lord has a way of drawing praise out of... Is this on? Okay. Those experiences of refining through my first battle with cancer helped me to sing these words from my heart. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? The snapshots of the next 10 years would include a lot of youth sports, trips to the beach, fun memories made with family and church friends, and pink flowers every February 1st to celebrate another year of life after my cancer diagnosis. In October of 2021, after finding a lump under my arm, I found out that my cancer had returned. This time, it was stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, and by the time it was found, it had spread to my bones. I had been having severe back pain for several months, and I learned that cancer in my spine was the cause of my pain. My oncologist said that my treatment plan was considered palliative, as today's medicine offers no cure. Once again, I became reacquainted with chemo, radiation, and additional surgeries. The Lord has been so merciful, and even though I have experienced a lot of side effects from chemo, I have been able to keep teaching choir at Covenant High School and fulfilling my duties as the music director here at Faith, for which I am very grateful. I often feel too weak to perform my duties, but the Lord continues to give me strength to run the race before me. He is the sure and steadfast anchor of my soul. Cancer has a way of bringing into focus what is important, and it has made me grateful to the Lord for ordinary things. What a gift it is to be able to still take care of my family, to work with wonderful students, and to be able to continue to play for worship each Sunday. To wake up to normal things every day is such a blessing. Even though I know that my prognosis is dire, unless it is the Lord's will to heal me, my Savior has given me peace throughout this cancer fight. He has shown me that it is possible to have suffering and joy at the same time. He has helped me to focus on the good things. I remember a day that I was feeling especially overwhelmed. I went to Chambers Bay and was hoping to walk, clear my head, and pray. When I got there were so many crows that the sound was deafening. But I heard the sound of another bird, with a prettier sound, and tried to make my mind focus on that. And it was a reminder to me that the noise of nausea, neuropathy, infections, trips to the hospital, surgeries, etc., can be deafening. But there is beauty in the hugs from my boys, a husband who tells me I'm beautiful even when I am bald, my wonderful church family who prays for me, supports me, and brings over lots of food, and most importantly, my Savior, who is carrying me through it all like a caring father. He provides my daily bread, and his mercies are new every morning. Cancer does not define who I am, but it has been a life-shaping experience used by the Lord to teach me and those around me. The scripture records Hezekiah's prayer when he had a life-threatening illness, and he prayed, "O, restore me to health and make me live. The living, he thanks you as I do this day. If it is the Lord's will not to heal me, I know that I go to a far better place and that he will help me through death's dark veil as he promises to do. It is my desire to see my children's children, but I put my trust in my Savior who conquered death and who lives and reigns and who I will spend eternity with. If it is not his will that I see my grandchildren here on earth, I pray that someday we will all be praising our Savior together around his throne, worshiping him with unimaginably beautiful music together for eternity."